Welcome to the Mantra Podcast. My name is Johanna Hector, and I'm excited to immerse myself with you in the world of the highest words and sounds. Although I've been practicing and facilitating yoga for a long time, I only discovered the power and beauty of mantras a few years ago. With my inspiring guests, I'd like to introduce you to their diverse meanings, effects, and sounds. Enjoy listening and chanting along. Ellen Arthur has been a singer her whole life, but it wasn't until she embraced Bhakti Yoga and Kirtan that she discovered the true healing and transformative power of her voice. With a Bachelor of Music degree, Ellen's deep knowledge of music and music theory has greatly influenced her ability to guide herself and her mantra students on her spiritual journeys. Now living in Bali, Indonesia, she leads weekly kirtan sessions, sharing the sacred practices of devotional music and helping others to connect with God. Welcome, Ellen. I'm so glad to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Would you like to add anything to the introduction of yourself?
I've been living in Bali for quite some time now and calling Bali home. I know that's how you and I connected through Kirtan here in Bali. I think, yeah, that's all I need to add, really.
Yeah, I just said it to Ellen before we started recording that I just came back from 2 months in Bali, actually 2 days ago, now that we're recording this interview. And yeah, I'm still feeling like in between the two worlds. And it's very nice to connect back this way now. And yeah, all the experiences, the sounds and the flavors of Bali are still very present in me now.
Totally.
Yeah. What brought you there, actually?
Yeah, in 2015, I did my yoga teacher training here. And I would just come back very regularly. I'm originally from Australia, so coming over was very easy, you know, a 7-hour flight. And so I would come maybe 2 or 3 times a year from 2016, 2017. And then in 2018, I was offered to come and teach at the studio where I did my teacher training. And from there, I just moved straight over. It was like a 3-day period of like going back to Australia, packing up all my things and coming straight back over. So yeah, that was mid 2018. And I've been here since then.
Yeah, it's still feeling good despite all the changes that the tourism brings. I mean, I hear many, many people talking about that.
Lots of change, but you know, with that has brought about a beautiful big community as well. So it's definitely not a negative thing, although there are some negatives to it. The amount that Bali has grown in the last few years is kind of overwhelming. But like I said, with that comes an incredible community, and it enables me to do what I do every week with kirtan and to be chanting and singing with new people all the time. And it keeps it very fresh and very inspiring and exciting.
Yeah, that's true. The kirtan with you there was definitely very special. Also, yeah, for me compared to other kirtans I've been to. Yeah, amazing energy. And I guess it's with everything that there are two sides and it's not all bad or all good.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, my next question to you before we actually start diving into the mantra is what inspires or moves you the most at the moment, right now?
Getting time to listen to a kirtan from start to finish is like the ultimate for me right now, because I have a toddler and I don't have that much spare time. So yeah, what really inspires me is just being able to listen to people that encourage me to keep going on the path, whether that is actually a kirtan. You know, I listen to a lot of kirtan online, thank God for YouTube, and whether that is a kirtan, listening to the people that really inspire me, or a really good podcast. But yeah, anything that's going to keep rearranging the things that I choose to do throughout my day to guide me toward service and devotion and God, that's what really lights me up. I mean, it has for quite some time, but even more so now, because my time is so precious and limited when I do get that time to sit and study and read or to listen to something. So yeah, when I do get that time, that fills me up. Even if it's like 10 minutes, I'm like, yes. And chanting, chanting the Maha Mantra, Japa on the malas, on the beads, like, you know, I do that daily. And when I do get a chance to sit and break up my day of chaos and just sit and chant, that's a big inspiration for me.
Thank you for this reminder. I also feel like that was a part of me that wanted to come back. And out of the friend of mine called Ubud, the spiritual Disneyland, and I thought it so nailed it.
So cool.
And then there was this other part that's like, no, I don't want to get back into the wheel of job, home, work, I don't know, like all this constant doing, and actually stay in the slowed down mode. And yeah, let's see how long I can maintain it. Or as you say, it's actually not just maintaining, it's like more always coming back to it and just know your personal tools that help you, support you do that.
Yeah. Some days are harder than others, that's for sure. But yeah, having faith in the things that bring you back is what I'm leaning on at the moment.
So what mantra are you bringing to the podcast today?
I mean, if you've been singing with me and coming along the journey, you will have noticed that I sing to Radhe and Krishna a lot. That's really where my heart kind of expands the most, is when I'm chanting to Krishna, to Radha Govinda, and calling out these names that elicit a deep sense of gratitude and unconditional love toward myself and the world, essentially. I mean, that's the goal, is to be as open as possible to love and devotion, presence, compassion as possible. And these mantras are like keys. They're like gateways that enable us to have that experience of those said human emotions or human conditions. And yeah, Radhe Govinda is definitely that key that unlocks that ability to go there for me.
Yes. Could you go through the words, just word by word, and tell us a little bit about their meaning? I mean, we've had a Govinda Gopala mantra on the podcast before, and also the Maha Mantra. But yeah, maybe in this specific constellation of words, since it's always different.
Yeah, always different. It's very simple. It's Radhe, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. So it's essentially, it's just saying Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. So it's these two names that is the loved and the beloved, the masculine, the feminine, divinity expressing itself in these forms of Radhe, which is the divine feminine that enables us to have a relationship with God, and in this case, have a relationship with Krishna. It's said that if we even want to touch in on that unconditional loving aspect of Krishna, we kind of ask for Radhe's permission first. And we ask for her to grant us that time to experience Krishna's unconditional love. So Radhe Govinda. Govinda is another name. There's many, many names of the divine, of divinity. And Govinda is another name of Lord Krishna. And it's bringing us to this aspect of Krishna that is related to the cows. If you know that in Hinduism, that the cows are very sacred, and there's a deep relationship between Krishna and the sacredness of cattle. And why, there's many reasons, but one that I can connect to most deeply is that if you've ever spent time with cows, they're very gentle and loving and humble in their nature. And oftentimes quite slow and steady. And that's what we're, when we're chanting these names and we're honoring Govinda, Gopala, these protectors of the cows, we're connecting to that steadiness and that ease that is the very nature of a cow. And if we could spend more time around either, you know, animals in that way or people, may we be associated with people that have a great steadiness and ease and sweetness and compassion that will rub off and have an effect on us over time. So it's about having good association in our lives and really being mindful about who we spend our time with. So there's many, many layers to these names, and that's just a tiny little layer. But Radhe, Radhe Govinda is just those two names, really. And there's so much you can do with those two names. There's so many beautiful melodies.
Yeah, thank you. It's really nice to hear it in the perspective of cows. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard about steadiness and ease so much in the context of, yeah, yoga practice, asana practice, or meditation. And I mean, of course, it is super essential set of qualities for all aspects of our life. It's a nice perspective seeing that in other humans, but also like in the animal world, maybe in the plant world. Like I've watched the plants in Bali so much, how they're big banana leaves would sway in the wind, and there's also this steadiness and ease. And yeah, it's just actually my teacher Tao Judel that I was studying this in Bali, she said this: there is nowhere you can look that does not show you. So when we open our eyes in that way and our perception, which I think happens a lot when we slow down, then yeah, we can see so much.
Yeah, but if we're rushing and we're busy and we're on our screens and we're doing the checklist, then we miss so much.
Yeah. So why did you choose this mantra for us today, but also, I mean, for most of your kirtans? What is your experience or maybe personal story to this mantra?
It took me a couple of years to really grasp the depth of Radha and Krishna and Govinda. I was always hearing other people chant these names, and the Mahamantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, that has been, I've known about that mantra for a really long time. And I had a little bit of an aversion to it when I first started leading kirtan. Mostly because I didn't know that many melodies of the Mahamantra, or I just hadn't kind of explored those names. I was, you know, singing a lot to Ganesha and Durga, Om Asatoma, some different mantras and different melodies to different names. And when I started to get a lot deeper into the path of bhakti, Krishna just kept appearing, and with a force that I can't really not sing to Krishna. And if I had my way, my whole kirtan, 90 minutes to 2 hours, would literally be either Mahamantra or Radhe Govinda. It's just these names that have kind of captured my heart in a way that I never, ever could have imagined. So it's a deepening relationship with the divine that these names have enabled me to actually have a felt sense, rather than thinking that God is somewhere else and so far away from me. When I'm chanting these names, I have a physical felt sensation when I'm chanting to Radhe and Krishna. I don't have it necessarily so deeply when I'm chanting other names. And you know, each of us will have such a different relationship with the different names of God, of which there are thousands, millions, you know. So for me personally, these names have opened up my world. It's showed me all of the ways that I withhold compassion and love and patience with myself and with others. And it's also showed me all of the ways that I am really beautifully compassionate and loving and patient and devotional. So it's showed me both sides of that same coin of who I am as a person. And it's those names that keep revealing myself to myself. So I keep following those names.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. And is that something that has really happened gradually over time, or was there one moment where you noticed like just this expansion of the heart and this aha moment of the felt sense in your body?
It's definitely been a little bit more of a slow burn, but I think that's the way it's supposed to be, actually. Because I had an aha moment when I first heard mantra in 2015, when I came over and did my teacher training. I had an aha moment with Om Asatoma, and that just blew my. It was like a pre mantra Ellen and post Om Asatoma Ellen. It's a very distinct moment in my life. With the Maha Mantra Radhe Govinda, it's been this beautiful kind of unfolding of my relationship with these names. And it just continues every single day that I come to sit and chant. It continues to unfold. So I would say it's a little bit more of a slow unfolding. And for that, I'm really grateful because I'm not really, the older I get, the more I realize I don't want big moments of ah, I don't want that anymore. I wanted that when I was 20, I don't want that anymore. And I'm really appreciating how Radha and Krishna, Radhe Govinda, are taking up more and more space in my heart over time. And the more that I sing their names, they're revealing so much of the path, of the tradition, of the sweetness and the sacredness of this practice. So it's very welcomed, this sweet unfolding.
That's beautiful. And I think what is so beautiful about it also is like how you were explaining it is like how I understand also the qualities that those names of Krishna and Tatari bring to us. This love that is so much beyond the love that we see in movies or, talk about maybe in day-to-day lives. And that is also, I think, a kind of love that really, develops and grows, just like you say. It's not the one big explosion and then it's there or disappears, but it's actually very steady and deep and grounded kind of love, I feel.
I love that. That's beautifully, beautifully said. Sure.
Yeah, and also like coming back maybe to spiritual wonderland is what we see a lot, not only in Bali, also in Europe and in other parts of the world for sure, is that like this hunt for big moments happening quickly, and be it like through, I don't know, psychedelics or breath work or ecstatic dance, or I mean this is all fun, and I think there is also depth in those practices. And yet at the same time, I feel like there is a lot of impatience on the spiritual journey of people these days, like have to have the big experience as fast as possible and as often as possible. And
So true. Yeah, I'm here for the slow burn.
Yes, I love that. How about we listen now and dive into that level of experience?
Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara.
Thank you so much. I noticed editing episodes the other day how much my voice sounds different after the chanting part every time.
Interesting how you drop into like a new frequency almost.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah, and
that's so cool to have the comparison.
Yes. Yeah, and also a way how the felt sense expresses itself, I think. That's how direct actually the change and the effect, if you want to call it like that, yeah, manifests and happens.
Physical as well, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's not separate, the different.
Totally.
Yeah, layers connected. Yeah, and thank you for bringing me back to the experience in the shala in Bali. I kind of heard the other instruments in my mind also, like the tala player and like the other voices and the people singing and yeah, maybe dancing and hearts dancing. Yeah.
Yeah, hearts opening, tears coming. Totally. That's so nice when you can conjure that up in your mind, because really that's what kirtan is all about, that community coming together, hearing other people, seeing other people. And yeah, it's so profound.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for sharing that, because that's also one of my motivations or intentions with this podcast, because I feel like some of this community feeling got a little bit lost during those pandemic years. And I personally feel that no asana yoga class or whatever we can go to does re-establish or create this feeling so quickly, like kirtan or chanting together.
Yep.
I have one last question for you before we close. So what is one word that our world needs the most right now?
It's definitely not one word. I feel like if we just had more patience in listening to other people's version of events or side of the story or experience, being able to hear someone else's or understand someone else's experience before we make those judgments or criticisms. So I don't know how you'd sum that up in one word, but maybe patience, but it's a bit more of a loaded patience. And like, I feel like we're so quick to judge and so quick to ridicule and so quick to have war and fight and have hatred in our hearts. But if we had a little bit more patience and compassion, I think it would be a slightly different world, is my guess and my hope. Yeah. So there's your one word. I'm sorry.
I know it's so hard. Thank you.
It's a good question. Yeah.
The interesting thing about this one word is that the words somehow don't repeat much with my guests, so it's always different. And so we have this beautiful collection of all the qualities we need in the world.
Nice.
Over time. And yeah, thank you for adding to that collection.
Thank you for allowing me to add. Yeah, it's such a pleasure.
So how can listeners and everybody who's interested chant with you, come together with you in community, and maybe also those who are not currently in Bali?
Yeah, so I'm going to be coming to Europe actually this year. So in September, I'll be in Portugal. I have a retreat there. It's already fully booked, but I have one in Corfu in Greece from the 12th to the 18th of October. And there's still a few spaces there. So that's a Bhakti Harmonium Mantra retreat. And I'm hoping while I'm over there around that time that I'll be able to do a few kirtans and connect with the community over there. Otherwise, I have online courses, harmonium and mantra courses. And yeah, of course, if you're in Bali, then obviously I'm leading quite regular kirtans here.
Wonderful. And of course, I will put the links also in the show notes. I think you even have like a few songs on Spotify. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, Spotify, YouTube. I really need to do some new recording. So yeah, but there's some things up there.
Yeah, great. Okay, Ellen, thank you so much.
Thank
It's been really a
you.
pleasure. And actually, I've even before like coming to your kitten in Bali, I've wanted to invite you to the podcast. Like, I actually did for so long. And then, yeah, I was so glad
Then we
to.
convinced it. That was even
It
better.
was meant to be there. So, yeah, thank you so
Perfect.
much. And is there anything else you would like to say?
Just sending so much love. And if you're listening, please keep chanting. Please keep connecting to your heart and directing your love and your presence to God, because that's really what we are searching for every time we go to a practice, every time we have a new partner, every time we're seeking out something that inspires us, we're seeking for that deep connection to the divine. So keep going. Even when life gets challenging, just keep showing up in that way and keep opening your heart to the divine.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode and would like to support the podcast, please subscribe and leave me a positive review. See you soon for the next episode. Johanna.